This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 19th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
The dollar strengthens while China's currency continues its march lower.
Trade concerns show up in earnings as the biggest U.S. aluminum producer cuts its forecast.
Japan, meanwhile, warns the White House of a strong response if auto tariffs are imposed.
President Trump claims he told Vladimir Putin to stay out of America's elections, but stopped short of calling him a liar. I'm John Tucker. That story straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschke. Coming up in sports, golf's third major and oldest tournament, the Open Championship, underway from Carnoustie.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
The dollar stronger once again this morning while U.S. futures and European equities lose ground. 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6.5 points, Dow futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down 19. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.33%, so is the CAC in Paris. FTSE 100 up 0.2%. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 76 cents to $68 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% on $11 to $12.1690 an ounce. The euro, $1.1606, and the yen, 113.02. Bob.
We begin in China with the yuan weakening yet again this morning. The currency fell to a 1-year low. And still, China's central bank shows little sign of intervening. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie reports from Beijing.
Economists say, yes, this is more about softening the blow as a result of the trade war to give exporters a bit of breathing space. Others would say this is more about U.S. dollar strength. So there's that debate going on, but it's certainly interesting to see that the policymakers here have been apparently relatively relaxed about seeing the currency depreciate by about 7% year to date.
Now, PIMCO says it expects China will continue to tolerate higher volatility in the yuan and a moderate weakening of the currency.
Data this morning from Japan illustrate the broader trade war concerns. Exports from Japan to the U.S. fell 0.9% in June. That's the first decline in 17 months, and it comes even as the country's trade surplus grew to more than $5 billion.
Japan's trade minister, meantime, says the U.S. can expect a strong response if it imposes auto tariffs. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg through an interpreter.
Japan won't take the same approach to handling U.S. tariffs on cars and auto parts that it took for steel and aluminum tariffs. But I can say the damage would be huge to not only the Japanese economy, but also to the U.S. and global economy.
Japan's trade minister also tells us he's working with the European Union to address President Trump's protectionist trade policies.
And sources tell Bloomberg the EU is preparing a new list of American goods to hit with protective measures. That's in case a mission to Washington next week fails to persuade President Trump not to raise levies on cars. The European Commission is working on measures that would be ready immediately if the White House imposes tariffs on European auto exports.
Here in the U.S., the Commerce Department holds public hearings on those proposed auto tariffs today. At issue is whether imports of passenger vehicles imperil U.S. national security. The hearing comes as auto industry groups have been stepping up efforts to sway the president against imposing levies.
Trade is also showing up in earnings with Alcoa, the biggest U.S. aluminum producer, lowering its profit forecast. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
Alcoa cites tariffs on imported aluminum and higher energy costs. Aluminum has slipped about 25% from an almost 70-year high reached in April in the wake of U.S. sanctions on Russian producer United Rusal. In the second quarter, Alcoa incurred $15 million of costs for tariffs on imports from its foreign operations for U.S. sale. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Shares of eBay are down about 6% this morning. The company rattled investors by trimming its annual revenue forecast. That, on top of lackluster second quarter sales, is sparking concerns that eBay is struggling in the shadow of Amazon.
Shares of IBM are up about 3% in early trading. The company reported sales growth in the second quarter and says its cloud business is performing well. At the same time, profit margins remain low, and IBM's Watson unit saw a slight decline in sales.
We get earnings today from 21 companies in the S&P 500, including Microsoft. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has a preview.
The analysts are bullish. Microsoft gets 31 buy ratings, just two hold ratings and a pair of sell ratings. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's fourth quarter results should reflect increases in IT spending worldwide, increased adoption of hybrid cloud likely helped to drive growth, and continuing upgrades of computers to Windows 10 should have resulted in solid gains for commercial PCs. Adverse currency movements may have hurt reported results. Wall Street forecasts are for Microsoft to post an adjusted profit of $1.08 a share on revenue of $29.2 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. And retail sales in the UK unexpectedly dropped in June. Sales fell 0.5% from May compared with a median estimate calling for a gain of 0.2%. The pound is weakening following that data. It is currently at $1.2996.
We have a lot of earnings out of Europe this morning, including results from Publicis, SAP, and Unilever. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salik has details.
It was a surprise sales slump in the second quarter from Publicis. That adds to the evidence that the advertising industry is seeing a downturn from the shift to digital media, and it's seen Publicis drop by the most in almost 3 years. Better news for software maker SAP. It's raising its 2018 outlook as cloud sales growth accelerates, but it did see a slowing in new bookings, which is an indication of future revenue growth. And Unilever expects a bounce back in the second half. That's after a truckers' strike in Brazil held back sales growth in the early part of the year. In London, I'm Sebastian Salik.
Sebastian, thank you. We're watching shares of Danaher this morning. It just reported earnings that just crossed the Bloomberg second quarter profit from continuing operations, beating analyst estimates. Second quarter sales also beating. And futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 6 points, Dow futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down 19. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street, and we bring in Bloomberg's John Tucker now with the latest at home and around the world. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump says in an interview with CBS that he told Vladimir Putin to stay out of America's elections. The president was also asked if he now holds Putin responsible for election meddling.
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
The shifting stance came Wednesday as Mr. Trump spent more time managing the fallout from his widely criticized summit with Putin in Helsinki. President Trump said Russia isn't currently targeting the U.S., diverging from a public statement his own intelligence director made just 2 days earlier. After a reporter asked during a cabinet meeting whether Russia was still targeting the U.S., Mr. Trump first tried to avoid answering by telling the assembled media thank you, usually a sign he won't take questions. But then he lowered his voice and responded, no. FBI Director Christopher Wray says Russia continues to use fake news, propaganda, and covert operations to influence Americans.
It's a threat that we need to take extremely seriously and respond to with fierce determination and focus.
Speaking at the Aspen Security Forum in Colorado, Wray addressed the growing concern about the midterm elections possibly being hacked. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said yesterday President Trump entertained a proposal from Vladimir Putin to let Russian authorities pose questions for the former U.S. ambassador to Moscow. Allowing the interrogation of a former American ambassador who held diplomatic immunity while in Moscow would be unprecedented. FBI Director Wray made it clear he does not support that idea. The New York Times reports the New York State Department of Taxation and Finance has opened an investigation into whether the Donald J. Trump Foundation violated state tax laws. That's a move that could lead to a criminal referral for possible prosecution. The inquiry may cover some of the same issues raised by the New York Attorney General in a lawsuit that was filed against the Trump Foundation last month. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. It's where the game of golf originated. Across the pond, as the 147th Open Championship is underway from historic Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland, a par 71. Jordan Spieth is the defending champion. Current leaderboard update finds Erik van Rooyen of South Africa atop the board at minus 5. He is through the 16th. Danny Willett is 4 under par through the 15th hole, followed by Brandon Stone at minus 3. He is through the 8th. American Matt Kuchar is 1 under par through the 4th, as is Tony Finau. He birdied his first hole. Ricky Fowler is even on the 3rd. Phil Mickelson even on the 12th. Tiger Woods, who came into the tournament 25-1, says the time off has given him a better understanding of the game.
Each tournament I keep coming back to, I keep feeling a little bit better because I'm starting to play some golf again. My feels are much better than they were at the beginning of the year, and I feel like I have a better understanding of my game and my body and my swing much more so than I did at Augusta.
Tiger tees off just before 10:30. Baseball's second half begins Friday for both local clubs. For Yankees All-Star Aaron Judge, he's basking in the glow of another All-Star game victory in which he hit one of 10 home runs.
Before that happened, kind of getting ready to go ahead, and Verlander said that he's like, I got a really good feeling, man. I think you're going to hit a homer this at bat, so just get ready. So that first one I fouled off, I was like, there's no chance. You know, the way Scherzer was showing it, but I was able to barrel up that second one. It was a pretty cool moment.
The Yankees are 4.5 back of Boston, will host the Mets in the Subway Series, while the Red Sox visit Detroit. And it's official, Manny Machado's dealt from the Orioles to the Dodgers for 5 prospects. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Buschka, thank you very much. And in sports business news, 3-time NBA champion Dwayne Wade has signed a lifetime contract with Chinese apparel company Li-Ning. Wade's relationship with Li-Ning began in 2012 after he previously was an endorser for Converse and Jordan brand. Financial deals of the contract, details of the contract not revealed, though it's believed the total value to Wade could reach tens of millions of dollars. This is Daybreak. S&P futures this morning currently down 7 points. That is a 0.25%. Dow futures have carved off 48 points. NASDAQ futures down by 22 points. The 10-year yield at 2.8950%.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Metals and emerging currencies are plunging after China signaled it won't defend the yuan at current levels. Sources also tell Bloomberg that China is ordering banks to ramp up lending. Sources tell Bloomberg the European Union will slap tariffs on U.S. products if President Trump imposes 25% levies on cars. The U.S. Commerce Department today opens 2 days of hearings into whether auto imports threaten national security. Shares of eBay are slumping after the company trimmed its revenue forecast. IBM shares are gaining as revenue growth at the company resumes. Microsoft reports results this afternoon. And President Trump's flip-flopping on Vladimir Putin and Russia continues to keep the White House in chaos. Sources tell Bloomberg the president's aides view this as one of the worst moments in his presidency. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thank you, Hannah George. And right now, S&P futures are moving lower, down 8 points. The Dow futures down 54, NASDAQ futures down 27. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 67 cents to $68.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1% on $12.10 to $12.15.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1609. The yen, 112.98. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And good morning, Karen. National Intelligence Director Dan Coats' drumbeat of criticism against Russia is clashing loudly with President Trump's remarks. After Wednesday's cabinet meeting, Mr. Trump appeared to deny Russia was still targeting American elections, just the latest in a growing list of statements that conflict with Coats. The Thai soccer boys and their coach began their first day back from home with their family since they were rescued from that flooded cave, with a trip to a Buddhist temple today to pray for protection from misfortune. It took just minutes for the hashtag boycott MGM Resorts to appear on Twitter and for people to declare they would no longer patronize the largest casino owner on the Las Vegas Strip. It's the reaction to MGM Resorts' international lawsuit against victims of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. Bloomberg Sports, Erik van Rooyen is the leader at the British Open. He shot 4-under-67, and he is done for the day. Tiger Woods tees off later. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
Good morning. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. Focus on tech today as Microsoft reports earnings. We're joined now by Anurag Rana, Senior Software and IT Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. Hey, good morning and welcome. I'm thinking that the ongoing adoption of Windows 10 ought to be good news for Microsoft, or is that ubiquitous operating system its bread and butter anymore?
That's really an unusual case because the Microsoft story for the past several quarters has been cloud and the growth of cloud, which is still going to be strong in our view this quarter. But one of the things we want to look for is their commercial PC upgrade. A lot of companies are still on Windows 7, and we think because of better security and the better user experience of Windows 10, we think that those move from older versions of Windows to 10 will continue in enterprises.
And so how long can people stick with Windows 7?
They can stick around till Jan 2020. That's typically the when Microsoft would stop supporting the Windows 7 platform. So that's why enterprises usually move in to upgrade before that. But one of the things we have seen is we have some very good reviews of Windows 10 in terms of security, in terms of user experience, in terms of them supporting emerging technologies such as augmented reality and virtual reality. So, the companies are moving a little bit faster than usual.
You say they've been doing well with cloud computing. Who are the big players in cloud right now? Who are their rivals?
Oh, absolutely. The biggest, the gorilla in the market is Amazon Web Services, and Microsoft is now the second biggest company. And over the last 4 years, they have really narrowed the gap with Amazon. Right now, they're growing faster than Amazon and some of their other peers. And for companies who don't want to work with Amazon, whether they are either in retail or for just, matters of not giving the entire control of their architecture to Amazon, they are going for a strong number two, which is Microsoft.
So when we talk about Amazon Prime being such a big deal, Prime Day and that sort of thing, much of Amazon's bread and butter is competing with the likes of Microsoft.
But there is, they still make more money on the retail side. Amazon Web Services is a separate division, and they're doing really well as well. They are the pioneers of renting computing services, very different than the legacy world of the IBM and the Microsoft and the Oracle. But having said that, Microsoft has done a very good job of catching up with them, and actually, we think they, in some cases, could be even better positioned when targeting some legacy companies which already have a lot of Microsoft products that they use internally, and now they can use Microsoft's cloud services.
Any particular trouble areas for Microsoft?
I would say currency could be something that may play some risk on the headlines, because when they guided last time, they were expecting very good currency tailwinds, but over the last couple of months we have seen them go the other way. So that's more on the reported side. On a constant currency side, we think things are going to be good.
So currency is an issue because of?
Because what happened when they guided for the next quarter, they had expected about, 3% of tailwind that gets added to reported results, and that's not the case. So when the numbers come out, you might see a slightly different number than what the street is expecting.
All right. Thank you very much. Anurag Rana, Senior Software and IT Analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence. We'll be watching for Microsoft's earnings. S&P futures this morning down by 9 points. That is a third of 1%. Dow futures down by 64 points. NASDAQ futures are lower by 32 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 6/32. The yield at 2.8913%. The 2-year yield at 2.6239%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. And please join us tonight at 5 and 10 when former Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer speaks with David Rubenstein on The David Rubenstein Show, Peer-to-Peer Conversations. Again, tonight at 5 and 10.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are following global stocks lower as trade tensions deepen. China is accusing American officials of making false accusations. It's firing back against a claim that Xi Jinping is blocking trade talks with the U.S.
China, meanwhile, is accusing American officials of making false accusations, as we said, and Bloomberg News has learned that the European Union is preparing a new list of American goods to hit with protective measures. That's in case a mission to Washington next week fails to persuade President Donald Trump not to raise tariffs on cars.
China's yuan is trading near a one-year low as the central bank shows little sign of intervening to slow the currency's descent. The yuan has fallen more than 4% in the past month, the worst performing among 31 major currencies.
Economists say jobless claims probably edged higher last week, rising to 220,000. The government issues the data at 8:30 this morning, Wall Street time, and Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice has more.
Bloomberg Economics counsels against rushing to judgment with today's jobless claims report. Auto industry retooling tends to throw a wrench into employment data this time of year. In the prior report, jobless claims dropped to 214,000, the lowest since early May and close to a half-century low. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Vinny, thank you. Let's get you caught up on some key earnings after the closing bell yesterday. IBM shares are up 3% in early trading. Profit topped estimates, and the company says its cloud business is performing well.
Shares of American Express fell almost 3% in extended trading. Analysts were disappointed the credit card lender did not boost its full-year earnings forecast.
And Alcoa shares dropped more than 2%. The biggest U.S. manufacturer of aluminum lowered its 2018 profit projection as tariffs on aluminum present what it calls a significant headwind.
Now 6:32 on Wall Street. That is time for your volatility index report. The VIX rose slightly yesterday to close at 12.10. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is rising again. It is up to 12.53. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures are down 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 64. NASDAQ futures down 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.4%. CAC in Paris down 0.5%. FTSE 100 up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 2.89%. Yield on the 2-year 2.62%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 70 cents at $68.06 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1%, down $12.20 at $12.1570 an ounce. The euro $1.1608 and the yen 112.96. And straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. And this news update is brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net. And here's Bloomberg's John Tucker.
And Bob, the White House continues to struggle to explain President Donald Trump's posture on Russian election meddling. Some administration officials are concerned there may be no shaking the public perception that Mr. Trump is too cozy with Vladimir Putin. In an interview with CBS, the president says he was firm with Putin during their Helsinki summit.
I let him know we can't have this, we're not going to have it, and that's the way it's going to be.
Asked if he holds Putin responsible for election meddling, The president responded, "Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country." The FBI director, Christopher Wray, has spoken up on the question of Russian meddling in the U.S. elections. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports he says it is still ongoing.
Wray says Russia is still very much in the game.
The intelligence community's assessment has not changed. My view has not changed, which is that Russia attempted to interfere with the last election and that it continues to engage in malign influence operations to this day.
He says a Mueller probe is not a witch hunt. He also says that in the long run, China is much more a threat than Russia. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And a senior Senate Republican says he'll propose new sanctions on Russia that could only be waived if the administration certifies Moscow has ceased interfering in U.S. elections. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, sometime ally of President Trump, says he wants Majority Leader McConnell and Minority Leader Chuck Schumer to cooperate on sending a strong signal the U.S. won't tolerate further attempts to meddle in its politics. In the U.K., the odds of a challenge to Prime Minister Theresa May's leadership appear to be receding. This as Parliament winds down for its summer recess. More from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
Officially, the break makes no difference to whether Conservatives can depose their leader. But a person familiar with the process told Bloomberg that realistically, it would be difficult to administer a vote of confidence while members of Parliament are on holiday. During a busy day in Parliament, May took her weekly questions in the House of Commons chamber before a much lengthier and less frequent grilling from senior lawmakers who chair various parliamentary committees. May rounded off the day at a meeting of rank-and-file lawmakers where she sought to unite her divided party at a largely positive meeting in which one lawmaker said he'd withdrawn his letter calling for a confidence vote. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Airbnb will need to share the names and addresses of hosts in New York City with officials. This is thanks to a new law, the latest setback for the home rental company in one of the world's largest tourism destinations. The law, which passed 45-0 in a city council vote yesterday, is designed to help enforce existing rules banning short-term rentals. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. This is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, now 6:36 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Golf's third of four majors is off and running from Carnoustie Golf Links in Scotland. It's the 147th Open Championship, also known as the British Open. South Africa's Eric Van Rooyen sits atop the board. He is in the clubhouse at minus four. Danny Willett, along with Patrick Cantlay, at minus three. Jordan Spieth off to a good start, two under. He's on the fifth. Ricky Fowler also on the fifth, minus one. And Phil Mickelson's plus one on the 13th. Tiger Woods was asked about the young core of talent in the game, like Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler, and how the game has changed.
Really close, but they've been close since junior golf and made out here on tour very quickly, and almost the same time frame. I think that's one of the reasons why you see them, you know, hanging around with each other all the time, whereas I really didn't, because it took the guys I knew really well a few years to get out here.
Tiger has not won a major since 2008. He tees off at 10:21. Baseball's second half gets underway tonight. One game, the Cubs and Cardinals. It's the Subway Series Friday from the Bronx. Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge knows the second half's a grind.
You know, rest up a little bit over the break and, you know, get going in the second half. You know, we just got to keep playing our game. And we got a great young team. You know, we're a team that likes to have fun. So if we just keep things simple, you know, we'll be where we want to be at the end of the year.
New York is 4.5 back of Boston. Baltimore trades infielder Manny Machado to the Dodgers for five prospects. In NBA news, Forbes has announced the Knicks are the most valuable NBA franchise worth $3.6 billion, seventh most valuable in pro sports. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Bushka. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Last week, the White House issued a dull but consequential executive order mandating that administrative law judges be appointed by the heads of their agencies rather than hired through normal civil service procedures. The order was a reasonable response to a recent Supreme Court ruling, but it created a bit of a mess. Some 2,000 federal administrative law judges help agencies adjudicate everything from securities law violations to benefit claims. If their appointments have been unconstitutional, many of the cases they've decided could be open to appeal. Going forward, the White House should clarify some things. Allowing agencies to hire judges directly could make it easier to find qualified candidates. That said, this case raises the possibility that the administrative state may be further politicized. One wonders if that's the point, and if this dull case, so quietly decided, is a harbinger of ominous things to come. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
The acting head of the Environmental Protection Agency is setting himself apart from his predecessor, Scott Pruitt, in one key way. Andrew Wheeler is making the workings of the agency more transparent. Here's Bloomberg 99.1's Nancy Lyons.
The EPA calendar is no longer being kept secret.
With Andrew Wheeler, we've seen everything that he's been doing, you know, the day after they happen.
Bloomberg Environment's Abby Smith says, unlike Scott Pruitt, who rarely interacted with staff, Wheeler has been holding a number of meetings.
In his first week, he had more than 20 briefings with staff, and an EPA spokesperson told me that that was not just political staff, not just Trump appointees, but it was also the career staff at the agency.
It's still unclear if he'll be President Trump's pick to permanently lead the agency. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. Now at 6:40 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. As the mercury soared sky high in Arizona last summer, many planes did not. Bombardier's CRJ model jets weren't certified for takeoff in temperatures hotter than 118 degrees Fahrenheit.
119 degrees came pretty close to the hottest temp ever recorded in Phoenix, forcing American Airlines to cancel or delay at least 43 flights in and out of Sky Harbor.
Now they have raised the temperature that Bombardier's jets can fly to 123 degrees. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Green Business Report. It is 24/7 News live on Twitter. Follow us on TikTok. Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries streaming live at TikTok.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures moving lower this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Ken. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure right now. Dow futures down 59 points. S&P's dropped 9. And NASDAQ futures declined by 29. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.89%. Asian markets fell overnight, while European markets are trading mostly lower, led by losses in France and Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims and Philly Fed. And at 10 o'clock, the index of leading economic indicators. Earnings after the bell last night, American Express revenue growth slowed. IBM beat is trading higher by 2.7% in the pre-market. eBay cut its fiscal year net revenue views, and Alcoa beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, Danaher beat and will also be spinning off its dental segment, and look for Philip Morris and Travelers to report around 7 a.m. In other news, SAP raised its 2018 outlook on cloud sales growth. And wrapping things up, Square was upgraded to outperform at Credit Suisse. eBay was downgraded over at Raymond James. F5 Networks downgraded to underweight at Morgan Stanley. And Terex cut to market reform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
Good morning, Karen. The White House struggling for a second straight day on Wednesday to explain President Trump's posture on Russian election meddling. Senator Susan Collins, a Maine Republican, told reporters, "This is dizzying." The Trump administration's plan to subsidize unprofitable coal at nuclear plants may cost as much as $35 billion a year. This according to a study backed by trade groups opposed to the idea. And in the UK, the odds of a challenge to Prime Minister Theresa May's leadership appear to be receding as Parliament winds down for its summer recess. And in Bloomberg Sports, the British Open, Kevin Kisner is the leader at 5-under. He's one shot ahead of Erik van Rooyen. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
John, thank you. It is now 6:49 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Commerce Department holding public hearings on proposed auto tariffs. President Trump hosts what the White House is calling a Pledge to America's Workers event. And the government issues data on weekly jobless claims at 8:30 this morning. Meantime, the controversy over President Trump's remarks on Russia shows no signs of abating. In an interview with CBS News, the president said he holds Vladimir Putin responsible for Russian meddling in the 2016 election.
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
At the same time, the president declined to say whether Putin was lying when he said that he had nothing to do with the election meddling.
I don't want to get into whether or not he's lying. I can only say that I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. I think that Dan Coats is excellent. I think that Gina is excellent. I think we have excellent people in the agencies. And when they tell me something, it means a lot.
So what do we make of all this? Let's get some clarity from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, the president seems to be struggling here. What are we hearing from those around him, particularly the statement that was made by Dan Coats right after all of this sort of broke loose, which seems to contradict what the president said?
Yeah, it's really hard to follow what the president's position is here. And part of me wonders if this isn't part of his strategy at this point. We've seen him kind of do this with other issues, his surrogates do it with other issues on the Mueller probe, where it seems as though he just kind of muddles the water and muddles the message so much, I think in the hopes that, in this case, both potentially Russia and his base and his critics all can kind of read into what it is that he's saying, what they want to hear, i.e., he said that he doesn't believe Russia has meddled. He says he does believe they've meddled. He said he trusts the intelligence agencies. He said he trusts them as much as he trusts Vladimir Putin, but not necessarily more. So it's really hard to discern what it is specifically that he's saying. And I think in some ways that may be somewhat deliberate at this point, at least in terms of a way of handling the damage control after Helsinki.
Well, does anybody try to pin down his aides here about, well, what is it that he means?
And when I say it like a strategy, I guess I feel like that's the strategy in as much as it exists is one that exists as a strategy of Trump's specifically, not so much one that's a concerted strategy by the White House or the administration. I think that we see that reflected in the level of anxiety that's being reported from aides in the White House, where it sounds like people are getting increasingly nervous that it's going to be difficult to dispel this public perception that Trump is too close to Putin. I think as these days kind of drag on and Trump doesn't make a clear statement kind of distancing himself after the display in Helsinki, that becomes harder. And that seems to be worrying a lot of aides, several of whom told our reporters that they fear that this could be the lowest moment of his presidency thus far.
And this doesn't seem to be going over all that well on Capitol Hill. Let me read you a quote from Senator Susan Collins, who is, I might point out, a Republican of Maine. She said, oh, you mean that there is a walk back of the walk back of the walk back of the walk back? This is dizzying, unquote. Are lawmakers still pressing this issue?
Yeah, I think the fact that we're seeing such strong rhetoric from a fellow Republican, now granted Susan Collins is a moderate and she's someone that, you know, has had mixed reviews of Trump from the get-go, but I think she really kind of hit the nail on the head there in terms of being willing to say what a lot of folks on Capitol Hill are feeling. Now, whether that's going to translate into any kind of concrete action to kind of force the president's hand, I think is tougher to say, and if I had to predict, I'd say probably not.
Okay, let's talk trade then. We're seeing a fresh war of words between the U.S. and China this morning. What's the latest rhetoric there?
Well, yeah, it seems as though this is kind of the umpteenth installment of the blame game here. You know, we know that these talks have kind of stalled between the U.S. and China. And now I think what we're seeing is both sides trying to blame the other for the fact that the talks have not really made any breakthroughs and not really resumed in any kind of tangible sense ahead of the G20 that's coming up this weekend.
And then China has been firing back at Larry Kudlow, who accused Xi Jinping of stalling these trade talks.
That's right. So China basically fired back pretty hard and accused the U.S. of essentially, not acting in good faith and not wanting to make an actual trade deal and kind of being intransigent on this issue, which I think is in some ways hard for the U.S. to counter.
And then there are the car tariffs in Europe. The Commerce Department holds public hearings on proposed auto tariffs this morning. And at the same time, we're getting word that the European Union is preparing measures just in case those talks in Washington next week fail to stop President Trump from raising levies on car imports. Tell us what the EU has planned.
Yeah, so I really see this as kind of on the EU's part, kind of issuing sort of a shot across the bow to the Trump administration. We know that the Commerce Department is going to have these hearings today, and so I think the timing is really worth noting. We know also that EU Commissioner Jean-Paul Juncker is going to meet with Trump next week, and so I think that basically what the EU is trying to say, pretty clearly, or at least telegraphed to Washington, is if you move forward with these, you know, we're going to retaliate in kind. And so this is kind of the next step in what we saw in terms of the punch and counterpunch on steel tariffs between the U.S. and the EU. Now it's really moving where the focus is on the auto sector.
And is that raising any concerns at the White House so far this morning that the EU might be ready to hit back?
Well, I think definitely the White House has to be somewhat concerned, you know, as this sort of trade conflict that is escalating on several fronts, both in Asia and in the EU. I think that, you know, in some ways it might give folks at the White House pause, but so far it really hasn't done that, so we'll have to see.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Karen.
Thanks, Bob. And the dollar is strengthening again following this week's testimony from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell, signaling the U.S. economy is on solid footing. And U.S. stock index futures are moving lower, with S&P futures down about 9 points, Dow futures down 61, NASDAQ futures down 30. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. CAC in Paris down about the same. And the FTSE 100 is now little changed after being higher for much of the morning. Meanwhile, in Asia today, stocks are mostly lower as China's currency weakened once again. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has more from our bureau in Sydney, Australia.
The yuan extended its recent loss as the PBOC weakened its daily fix beyond the key 6.7 to the dollar level, a sign the country's central bank has no issue with the recent weakness. Chinese and Hong Kong stocks were sold off, while a slightly firmer yen saw Japanese equities erase earlier gains after the Bank of Japan lowered purchases of longer maturity bonds for the first time since January. But Aussie stocks and the dollar climbed above 74 cents after the country's employment data for June smashed estimates, and property stocks in Singapore boosted the Straits Times after Wheelock Properties in Hong Kong made an all-cash offer to take its Singaporean affiliate private. In Sydney, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Juliet. We have earnings crossing the Bloomberg right now. Blackstone reporting second quarter economic profit that beat analyst estimates. Again, that's just crossing. Travelers just crossing as well. Second quarter core profit missing analyst estimates, coming in at $1.81 a share. Analysts were looking for $2.41 a share. Fifth Third Bancorp reported second quarter profit that beat the highest estimate of analysts we surveyed. Danaher's second quarter profit from continuing operations beat analyst estimates, and it said it plans to spin off its dental business into an independent publicly traded company. Again, I'll repeat, Blackstone's second quarter economic profit beating analyst estimates. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio for our listeners in Washington, D.C. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.